I would like us, first of all, to turn to Revelation chapter 6. Perhaps you've heard of the four horsemen. Well, you find not only in Zechariah, but John is taking his lead from Zechariah when he describes the four horsemen in a certain way now in Revelation 6. 4 and 5 focus on the throne of God, that everything's well. God is seated on the throne. That all the chaos and all the disasters that are going to occur are all under His sovereign control. That's why 4 and 5 are so important for believers to read. 1, a vision of Christ. 2 and 3, His message to the churches throughout all ages. And 4 and 5 is the glory of God, the focus of heaven and earth. And so you can read 6 through 22, or especially 6 through 19 or 20, and not fear, because God is seated on the throne and there are choirs in heaven. God is not wringing His hands there. But 6 can be a very scary chapter if you don't know the Lord and you aren't focused on His sovereign rule from heaven. Where John says that I saw the Lamb, that is Christ, opening one of the seals of the scroll, as I just showed, that this scroll that John saw, and maybe a rubber band would represent one of the seals that had 7 seals. And it was written not just on the inside like this one is, but he saw the writing on the outside. But he couldn't read it because it was sealed, and no one could open the seal. And the seal represents God's decree of what's going to take place from now until Judgment Day. And nothing can take place unless the seals are broken and the scroll is opened and read. In other words, salvation and judgment and providential protection and provision, none of that will happen unless God, through Christ, opens the scroll. But the seals need to break first for the scroll to open. And the seals back then were made by wax that was melted. And obviously someone had to break that seal. And so Christ breaks one of the seals, and John hears, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts that were surrounding the throne said, "Come and see." And I saw, and here are the four horsemen. I saw a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. The second horseman, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Third horseman, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Fourth horseman, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale green, just an ugly, kind of a vomit color horse. Obviously, an ominous thought. And I saw a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, them that is the four horsemen, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Terror strikes those that are not ready to meet the Lord. Is there meaning in this pandemic? As you know, the difference between an epidemic and a pandemic, the word demic is Greek for people. So an epidemic is literally upon the people, but it's more local. It's a certain locality or region, like a community or a city. A pandemic, as you know, the word pan is all, upon all the people. So an epidemic is turned to a huge scale. So a pandemic is that which an epidemic is turned into, as the World Health Organization says, now widespread throughout the world, from Canada to Brazil, from France to California. So has become this latest coronavirus, COVID-19. Panic and hysteria has broken out. Again, visit our local stores to verify that. You can see it in the faces of the people, in the eyes of those. I actually went to the store the other day because we needed paper towels. And I walked in the paper towel and I said to someone, what's happening here? I looked over and the toilet paper was gone. And then we needed some hand wipes and that was gone. And water was gone. And peanut butter was going. And I'm thinking, this is not only a pandemic, but this is a panic-stricken world. And when I went toward, I got one of the last things of paper towel. Maybe I should have left it there for the people, but I know the warehouses are full, but as I got toward the register, this lady came in, like, panic-stricken. She looked at my paper, oh, I got to get paper towels, and she took off toward the paper towel aisle. I thought, really, this is just like the Bible says, that people are going to run to and fro. They're going to panic. So the Lord writes these things so we don't panic. He wants to set us at ease. Not an ease of presumption, but an ease of peace. If we know the Lord, we're to learn that God is still on the throne. He's not surprised by something like this pandemic. Most who have contracted this have recovered. But having said that, many have died. And we have to remember that it's appointed unto men once to die. We're all going to die if Jesus does not return our lifetime. We're all going to die by accident, by disease, by heart attack, by some way, by pandemic. Are we ready to die? Do we know the Lord? But may I remind us that many epidemics and pandemics have occurred in history, and there are many still going on. HIV/AIDS has taken 36 million people, and 31 to 35 million have it still today. The flu pandemics, you just Google this. The 20 to 50 million in 1980 died from the flu. There's Spanish flus and Asian flus. Just in 1989, there was a terrible flu, and someone said that 80,000 people died from the flu last year. Cholera took 1 million people in 1852 to 1860. The Black Death of 1346 to 1357 took 75 to 200 million. The bubonic plague of 541 to 542 took 25 million. Smallpox, scarlet fever, typhoid fever, measles have taken their toll. Is there a meaning behind this? I just want us to think about three things. First of all, this pandemic is to make us aware of Revelation. It's to make us aware of God's Word. What should come to our minds when we hear pandemic or virus or flu or fever or disaster? Whether it's natural, earthquakes as are mentioned, biological, pestilence, social riots, economical, famines, national wars, spiritual cults that are mentioned here. These are all disasters of one kind or another in different categories. So should our reaction be we're not advanced enough to eliminate all these things? Or Christianity has provoked the gods of advancement? But we are to remember we live in a fallen and sinful world. There would not have been sin, sickness, war, death, predatory beasts, unless we had fallen into sin. We have caused this. The human race has rebelled against God, and God has decreed that there would be consequences. And one consequence is pestilences that are cyclical and continual until the end of time. But again, it doesn't mean that the person who gets the disease, as Jesus said, that the people that died when Pontius Pilate had mingled their blood with the sacrifices, Jesus said, do you think that their sin was worse than anyone else because they were killed by Pilate? No, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So it doesn't mean that people were promiscuous or particularly evil if they get the virus. They may be. There may be some very wicked people that got the virus because God decreed that He would judge them for their sin. But for the most part, most people who've gotten the viruses have been normal, maybe even we might say moral people. But the fact of the matter is, it's because we're in a fallen world that these things are happening. And the Bible addresses this. So what we should be doing is saying, remember, the Bible said this. Jesus said there would be pestilences. People don't want to hear that. They want to hear, well, we need a cure. We need to advance in our medical world and so on. They don't want to hear that, look, we're on schedule. We're going toward the judgment day. And until we come to judgment day, these things are directing us that way. It's going to keep happening. You're not going to have a utopia. The word utopia means, the word topos is place, and you is good, good place. Man thinks he's going to have, that the earth is going to be a good place. We're going to reverse what the Bible says is a curse. We're going to cleanse the earth of all its pestilence and its famine. And that's why there's such a panic about the temperature and about disease and so on. Why can't we cleanse the earth of these plagues? Because the Lord has decreed. Those seals say God says it's going to happen. You cannot reverse what God says. These horsemen are riding strong and they're as it were, producing these disasters. The horsemen represent God's Word going throughout the earth. Four represent the universe, the four corners of the earth. And everywhere we're finding war here, pestilence there, famine over there, beasts killing people here. And then we miss, too, that there's deceit that's part as one disaster. That's the first disaster that Jesus mentioned. Cults, people being deceived. And persecution, all these things are happening all over the world. Not all together, maybe at one place. But if you look at the United States of America, all of them are in America. Right now, we've got pestilence, but there are some people that are starving in America. But then there are other places that have famines. But in America, we have beasts killing people. Monkeys have killed people in America. A girl was just snorkeling in the Bahamas not too long ago, and she was killed by a shark. All these things happening. Bears are killing people up in the Northwest. The Lord said it would be so. So what I'm saying is this pandemic should make us aware of Revelation. It's decreed that it's going to happen until Jesus comes. It doesn't mean that Jesus is coming right after this pandemic, but it's saying that Jesus hasn't come yet, but that His coming is on time because the pandemic occurred, and the famine occurred, and the war occurred, and the beasts, the predators killing people has occurred. It's saying that we're on time. Jesus is not late. He's going to come back after the final decree of these four horsemen doing their works. In other words, the Lord has decreed there be commotions and instabilities in the world to rebuke man who thinks that he can bring peace to the earth without the gospel of Jesus Christ. The war to end all wars was brutal, World War I. Thought they'd never have World War II and the Korean War and the Vietnam War. And look at the wars happening today. They cannot bring peace until the Prince of Peace reigns and subdues his enemies. God has decreed there be no satisfaction and peace in this world. The seals are the of the scrolls is God's decree that the world will be chaotic and unstable. Cosmic disturbances will pop up over and over again. So rather than a utopia, the Lord is telling us this is dystopia. This is a bad place until Jesus destroys the world and makes a new heaven and a new earth. I don't want to discourage us because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But because of sin, sin's bad. Death's bad. Sickness is bad. It's not normal. It's normal to a sinful race, but it's not normal. God made the world without sin, without sickness, without death. We are the ones that introduce these horrible beasts into the earth. But the Scripture throughout had plagues. The plagues of Egypt. The plagues of Israel. Leviticus 26 says, if you walk contrary to me, John got these four thoughts from the Old Testament. The book of Revelation is all found in the book in the Old Testament. Listen to Leviticus 26. If you walk contrary to me, I will bring sword, war, pestilence, the broken staff of bread, famine, and beasts. You can see it all in Leviticus 26. If my people walk contrary to me, he said that to Israel. What does he say to a world that rejects him? If you walk contrary to me, you're going to have sword, you're going to have pestilence, broken staff of bread, and wild beasts killing your people. Along with, if you add from Jesus' Olivet Discourse, you've got deceit. He says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And then at the end of his persecution, where many will kill you for your faith. And you look in Matthew 24, Luke, or Mark 13, and Luke 21, all the records of Jesus' Olivet Discourse. You have wars, famines, pestilences, deceit, and persecution. Wars, deceit, famine, troubles. Deceit, wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, persecution. It's just all together, cyclical, that are going to take place, continual, right to the end. And he's saying, be aware of my word. And that's what we need to do. We need to point people to Matthew 24, to Leviticus 26, to Revelation 6, the four horsemen. Now remember the four horsemen, red. war, terrorism, hatred. Those would represent the red. Sword. I'm getting a call from Springville School District, and I'm sure that you and I know what's going to happen. The bus driver's out of a job, most likely until the end of the spring break. I don't know. Maybe I'll have a chance to get Tanya, but this looks to me like there's a problem. Do you want me to take it? Well, it's over. I'm sure it'll be a voicemail. But as we speak, look at how things are unraveling. And I'm not saying that they're not wise, but it looks to me like they're canceling school for tomorrow and maybe right through to. Does that mean that we got someone in Western New York that now has the flu, now has the virus? But you know, this is really concerning to our neighbors, to our brothers and sisters. Many of these bus drivers don't have any other income. Many of the mothers and fathers, think about it, now what are they going to do with their children? They normally have their children in daycare, and so they can have a job. Now they got to have their children. Is the daycare going to cut the parents a break? Are there going to people step up and say, I'll take care of your children for you on my hours off, on my days off? Will that be something that you and I can do to help a neighbor out? We'll watch your child for 4 hours while you work? I mean, here's an opportunity for us to serve the Lord and serve people. And are we willing to step in and say, Lord, how can I be used in this? You know, this is going to be panic from these poor bus drivers. There's 45 bus drivers, and many of them have bills and loans, and how are they going to survive? Now, I might be wrong here, but it looks to me like that's what's happening. I usually get a phone call like that that says that something drastic has occurred. It's scary, isn't it? We need to look to the Lord. The red horse, war, terrorism, hatred. The black horse, famine, economic upheaval. People are losing their jobs for weeks and months at a time. The pale green horse, pestilence. That's the word death here. The idea there is death by certain diseases and so on. If you compare it to Leviticus 26, so it's talking about biological things that occur that cause death. The beasts, zoological upheaval. And isn't it amazing that that in places of the world, everywhere in the world, you don't know what beast is going to be. This woman was walking her dog the other day in France, just in the woods that she walked. And a pack of dogs came up, and she was talking to her husband. She said, I don't like the looks in their eyes. And the dogs killed her. You got to be armed. You have to be ready to take a walk in the woods. You don't know a fox frothing at the mouth. You don't know these things. The Bible's saying, be aware. Be ready. Don't be surprised. We're in a fallen world, and things are being upended, as it were. Be aware of God's decree of the related disturbances of sin. So we need to be aware of Revelation. Secondly, to awaken to repentance. You say, where's the first horseman? Did anybody ask anybody think what happened to the white horse? Where's the first horseman? Well, the white horse. Is it Christ or Antichrist? There are people on both sides. It has to be Christ because it's a white horse and he has a bow and he's conquering. It's got to be the gospel conquering. It could be. But the Bible says in chapter 6 that all these horsemen are causing death and destruction. Did you read that? Power was given unto them, verse 8, that is all four horsemen, to kill with the sword and with hunger, with death and with the beasts of the earth. That text has many to believe that the white horse is the deception, the devil who comes to us as an angel of light. That white horse represents the conquering of the false gospels. The devil conquering people with deceit. And the Lord Jesus taught us that when He came, He bound the devil to undeceive the nations. In other words, every person that's ever converted had to be undeceived first. Maybe he was deceived by living for pleasure. Or he was deceived that his good works would get him to heaven. Or he was deceived to think, live and let live. There's nothing beyond this world. Every one of us, if we're converted today, we were undeceived in order to be converted. So you say, what is your take on this? Well, you look at it both ways. God has decreed Christ to save sinners during all of history on this fallen earth. People have been saved from Adam all the way to the last person before Christ comes. But if you look at it as the devil deceiving, that is a huge disaster. This world is deceived. And the devil is riding on his horse saying, I am Christ. I am the leader. And he's deceiving people to think that salvation is by good works. Or don't worry, because you're going to be annihilated when you die. And all these deceptions that he's throwing out. So what is the Lord saying? People need to awaken to repentance when they consider sword, war, pestilence, famine, beasts, persecution, deceit. That people need to get saved before the end of the world. All these things are saying that we're right on time before Christ comes. And how are we going to be ready when Christ comes? When the last war, when the last famine, when the last pestilence, when the last beast, when the last cult comes on the scene? God has decreed the gospel that people would be undeceived. But also God has decreed the false gospel to take place. Because they would believe a lie, as 2 Corinthians says. They rejected the gospel, so God will send them a delusion. It's all God's decree. And Jesus warned in his discourse, beware of religious disaster. People, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ. Many will say, I'm the way. I have the truth. In other words, follow me. And we've known in our lifetime many characters like this. Harold Camping, get out of the church, don't baptize, don't have the Lord's Supper. Where is he today? Family Radio won't even let any of his sermons on the radio anymore. But not only religious disasters, irreligious disasters, idols of pleasure and riches and intellect and philosophy and fame and power, bow and arrows that are deceiving the people. But we need the bow and arrow of the undeceiving gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is all in the context of God's decree and His judgments. Coronavirus is saying Christ's words are true. Man cannot create a utopia. Be not a victim of God's decree. Let God's decree lead you to repentance. So we have the awareness of revelation. We have the awakening to repentance. And thirdly, and this is obviously a terrible thing, the awfulness of retribution. Look at the fifth seal. Verse 9. Those that were killed for Christ are praying in heaven. And their prayer is not, how long, Lord, before more people get saved? This prayer is, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, did Jesus rebuke them in heaven, saying, you sinned by being vindictive in your prayers? They're sinless in heaven. Their prayers are biblical. Their prayers are right. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. What did he say? There are going to be more that will die. It's my decree that more of your colleagues, fellow servants, and their brethren should be killed as you have been. And until then, it's not yet ready to vindicate your blood. What is this saying? There are people in heaven praying that persecutors will be judged. You say, isn't all prayer good? This is the fear of being the object of prayer. You know, how often we say, how thankful I am, I'm the object of the prayer of my brothers and sisters and Christians around the world who are praying for us that we won't succumb to pleasures and pastimes and presumption and coldness. But here's where you want to be afraid of being the object of prayer. There are people praying, oh Lord, deal with that persecutor. Think about the prayers of the Bible. Would you want to be an Ahithophel? When David prayed, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness, and Ahithophel goes out and commits suicide. How about Judas Iscariot? You know what the prayer was for him? Let another take his office. Psalm 109, where we're going this Wednesday. And that's exactly what happened. Judas committed suicide and Matthias took his office. How about this prayer that Moses prayed? Lord, respect not their offering. And the earth opened and swallowed up all the people, and 250 people had lightning come down and strike them down to the earth. Oh, you want to be the object of the prayer of Christians for your salvation, not for your retribution. And yet, how many even Christians who are disobedient to God's Word are objects of the grieving prayer of God's people? So you have the fear of being the object of imprecatory prayer in this chapter, but then you have the fear of being unready at Christ's coming. Verses 12 to 17. What does 12 to 17 tell us? I'm not going to read the rest of it again. This is saying that when Christ comes, it's too late. It's too late if people aren't saved. They're hiding. They're shrieking in their cries. They're doomed. They're panicking when Christ comes. Here, people are panicking over a flu, over a virus. But how much more when Jesus comes and the heavens are rolled up like a scroll, and Jesus comes with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and people start to run for cover. Hide, they said. They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. But it's futile. And they said, I'd rather that the mountains and rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. What a seeming contradiction. The wrath. Have you ever seen a lamb wrathful? Maybe you have if they've been sick or they've been provoked. But that seems so surreal, the wrath of the Lamb. It's too late. The wrath of the Lamb has come. The great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? This is describing not only cosmic collapse, verses 12 to 14, the heavens collapsing, the moon turning to blood, the stars falling, the sun not shining, but the creatures collapse, verses 15 through 17. This should be the reaction to the coronavirus. Awareness of revelation, awakening to repentance and the awfulness of retribution, of judgment, if you're not ready. That's meaning in this pandemic. God has said this is a sign that the end is approaching. Christ's coming is on time. When you see deceit, war, famine, pestilence, predatory beasts, persecution, He's not saying they're chronological in nature. One occurs in that. It's cyclical. It's cyclical, but it's continual right up until the end. Beware. that these cyclical judgments do not lull us to sleep, to presumption or to paganism. We're to think on these things biblically. Lord, You've said this, so I respect Your word. God sets the times. Let me repent of my sins. Save me, Lord, from my sins. Or else we'll be awestruck with the fact that we'll be judged, and God, who sits in judgment, it says death and hell came to those who were unready. So this coronavirus should be, as it were, a herald to us. God's word is true. He loves to save sinners, but He'll judge those who do not repent at the end. This coronavirus should be a herald to us that God's decree is immutable and invincible. Heal your soul. Let that be your first priority. Hide from His wrath or hang in His noose. That's what it's saying. There is meaning in this pandemic. May God help us to get this meaning and spread it to others.